o'clock hour of Lily and Tosh begins now. We're going to get to the ESPN NFL power rankings and a little blurb from our boy Rob Domofsky. And then we're going to get to this Quay Walker conversation because I want to get Tosh's opinion on him. And tomorrow we're going to be getting inundated with information with Blue joining us and Homer, and then Thursday's a game day edition of Wildy and Tausch. So I want to get to Quay Walker coming up next. First, Jesse, it's time for Power Rankings Tuesday.
Before you do that, Jesse. You do that. What?
Been one
just
of those days.
Saw Taylor Decker, left tackle, not playing Thursday. Not a big surprise, but looks like he is listed as out on the Detroit Lions injury report. And Carlton Davis, who I was bringing up, didn't play versus the Bears. Don't think he's playing. So, yes, there'll be some other guys, but just, again, to kind of continue to pound home this beaten-down point, this is the game the Green Bay Packers should win. That's my point. Continue.
Tausch, how would you like to review the power
rankings? There's too many teams in the college football playoff.
Would they make the 12-team NFL playoff if it existed? No.
Ooh. You think you'd have seven from the AFC and five from the NFC?
Wait a minute. Where are you getting the injury report from at 11:11 a.m.?
Packers podcast, NY, something of that nature. It was listed an hour and a half ago. Put him out as out.
Yeah, I don't have the injury report as of yet. I can tell you that the last injury report that the Detroit Lions issued, we don't have game statuses yet, right? Because
Then this might be fake news. Oh, I maybe got tricked with some fake news. But it was it's a podcast that.
You got caught.
Okay.
Good thing you interrupted what we were doing for that well-researched information.
Well, I think it's a big deal. If that is true, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I will say this. I think ultimately, Taylor Decker probably will not play. I think they have targeted the following week against, was it Buffalo that they have next, for him to return. So I think it'll probably prove to be right. But we don't have designations yet.
I'll send this. It looks like a reputable deal. So
okay. That's how they get
you. Send it over to you. Yeah, we'll see.
Number one in this week's ESPN NFL Power Rankings. Tausch, who you think it is?
I think it's Detroit, but in this, the way they're constructed right now, nope. I'm going to disagree.
The Detroit Lions are number one in this week's rankings again.
Okay.
Number two is a new team.
Buffalo Bills.
Correct. Buffalo in at number two this week, up two spots from number four a week ago.
Snow game. That snow game buried the San Francisco 49ers after I told you they were buried a week before. Looks like they put a little more dirt up top that grave of them Niners.
Number three, the Kansas City Chiefs. Down one spot from number two. They just keep winning.
Every time I want to say something about the Chiefs, I continue to just get pounded with nut whack. So I am going to just say nut whack when I hear the Chiefs. Until they're eliminated, I have to learn lessons in life. I am learning this lesson. I don't think they look great, but nut whack, nut whack, nut whack.
If I may interrupt briefly, just because I don't want Packer fan Total Access Clayton, who comes into our YouTube chat on occasion. Big fan.
He's got 15,000 followers. He's kind of odd.
His tweet that you sent me says nothing about Taylor Decker or about Carlton Davis.
What are you talking about?
The Detroit Lions are looking to keep their winning streak alive in spite of eight players being placed on injured reserve since their previous matchup with the Packers. Can't say enough about how Dan Campbell continuously finds a way to win.
I sent the wrong one. There's another layer I'll send this to. Okay.
Number four.
Clayton, I hope you're right, because now you're getting put up on blast from Wildy.
He's not being blasted at all.
No, but I know nobody's going to put out. Nobody's putting that out if it's not.
I am impressed by what Dan Campbell's done with Detroit, though. I agree with the point.
How are you not? Yeah, sure.
Number four, the Philadelphia Eagles. Are they for sure better than the Green Bay Packers, Tausch?
I right now would rather play the Lions than the Eagles.
So that would mean you're afraid of them and that they're better than the Packers, theoretically
speaking. I'm afraid of anybody. Hey, I'm not afraid of anybody. That's not what I said. I would rather play the Detroit Lions under these circumstances than Philly. Philly's humming. Philly's rolling. Philly's got it going. So, yeah, I think that they're better than the Detroit Lions as we sit here today. Yes.
Number five, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Give me that matchup all day, too. Bring them, as we like to say.
Oh, now we're
bring
back
em.
To that. Okay.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
Fling them.
Number six, the spot previously occupied by the Green Bay Packers goes to Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings.
I get it. I get it. And as Natasha Bedingfield always says, that story is unwritten. I'll be very disappointed and surprised if the G&G don't finish this season ranked and have more playoff success than the Minnesota Vikings. And it can happen. Matchups and all that. But let me ask you this, boys. Philly and Detroit get to implement the Tauscher plan. Okay? The Tauscher plan in the playoffs gets implemented. Either team is the one seed. Either of these teams going to say, now I'm going to get the – let me bring the Packers on. Let me get them G&G. Or you think they're going to say, no, we'll play Minnesota.
They both already beat the Packers.
Okay. So they both would say,
so they're not afraid of anybody.
Let me play Green Bay. Okay. I disagree, but that's okay. It's good that you have that point of view. Jason?
Yeah, look, regardless of where the Packers end up, I think they look like a team based on what they did last year in the postseason and based on how they are playing currently. With, again, four more games after Thursday's game. They look to me like the team that you want no part of. And I thought that perhaps that team would be the 49ers, but now they're talk about devastated by injuries. Now they ain't climbing the mountain. They have forfeited the mountain climbing. They have McCaffrey on IR. Mason, I believe, went on IR as well, or at least he suffered a pretty significant leg injury.
Not enough bumps. They slid all the way. They're back to base camp. They're in a reset.
So they're donezo.
See if they can't reclimb next year.
So, yeah, there's always teams that you don't want the hot team, and the Packers have won 7 of 8. Even if they lose in Detroit, they could then turn around and win their last four, and then they're the hot team again. And their only two losses over the span of 12 games will have been to the Lions, and as Jesse so eloquently pointed out in our volleyball preview, tough to beat the same team 3 times in 1 year.
So by that metric, maybe the Packers actually want to lose to the Lions on Thursday night so that if they do meet in the NFC Championship game, tough to beat a team 3 times.
And they're going to throw it. They're going to throw the game.
I'll say this. Let's see if you guys want to join this club.
Oh, boy.
Why I think this game, it's important for Green Bay if they want to get that one seed. Detroit needs to have the one seed. Green Bay doesn't. You guys joining that club?
No.
Okay.
Detroit didn't need the one seed last year, and they had a double-digit lead in the NFC Championship game.
Okay.
I'd argue, of all the teams, Minnesota needs the one seed. Minnesota is the one that, they might get beat in the first round if they don't get the one seed.
Does Philly need the one seed? Because we seem to ignore Philly on this show pretty much all the time.
And Minnesota.
I corrected myself. They deserve attaboys. They are a legitimate contender.
I believe Detroit needs the number one seed.
I do, too.
I don't have any doubt about that. I think that their most of their game travels. But if I'm them, I don't want Jared Goff having to play in cold weather. I just don't. Maybe he can pull it off, but I want to avoid that. Which is also why, you know, we always talk about which team needs a game more. The Lions need this game. Like, the Packers obviously need it and need it more if they want any chance at the division. But it's not like Detroit's going into this game going, well, if they beat us, we're still going to win the division. We'll be fine. They are aiming for the number one seed. They're not going to come out and say, we're worried about our quarterback in cold weather. They're not going to say that. Just like Dan Campbell's not going to say, oh, my God, I can't believe those imbeciles posted some of our information on social media about our game plan. No, of course he's going to say, hell, we can give you our playbook and we'll still beat you.
Well, that's not really what he said after it first leaked. He was very
I understand.
Upset.
So
I would say this. I don't think any team that has to play – I look at the NFC as a three-team race. And is that being biased and not giving the Vikings credit? Absolutely it is. 100%. And I'll stand by that. I think the team that doesn't have to play the other team in this three-horse race is the team that goes to New Orleans. That's what I think. So if that ends up being the one seed, and if the one seed ends up having to play a six seed into G&G, I don't think they go. I think if it's that two seed and blah, 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 whoever doesn't have to play the other, I think is going to be who's marching on down to Bayou in late January, early February.
It's an interesting take. Speaking of interesting takes.
That's a really good take. It's a really good take.
I'm just trying to figure out if. So what you're saying is like if the Eagles have to play the Packers and beat them and advance to play the Lions, because they will have played the Packers, you believe the Eagles will then not beat the Lions?
That is exactly what I'm saying, yes.
This is going to be a tough take to remember to prove right or wrong in January.
It's going to be a struggle. There's
so what happens if Green Bay plays at Detroit and wins and then at Minnesota and loses?
I lost you because all I'm thinking about is there's a sneaky team that I think nobody else wants a piece of, and that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow.
I had written them off because the Falcons had beaten them. You know who's beaten the Detroit Lions and I believe the Philadelphia Eagles this year?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Shiver me timbers.
I made the mistake of thinking, I think because Atlanta beat him twice, I thought deuces B, and then Kirk Cousins is just god-awful. And they're talking about bringing in Penix, and I don't know, Jimmy. Tampa sneaks in at 4 slot. I don't think the G&G want to be at a 5 slot. I think we want to go down to Tampa now.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers started the season 4-2 with wins over the Commanders, the Lions, the Eagles, and the Saints. They then lost their next four games to the Ravens, the Falcons,
Godwin and Evans,
the Chiefs, and the 49ers. And now they have won two in a row on the road at the Giants and at the Panthers, both teams.
That's not great.
Not very good. So we'll see where that goes. All right, I do want to get to Quay Walker because I want to get your take on him. In order to do that, before we can get there, you have to tell us about Coors Light.
Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What did Quay Walker have to say, and what does Tausch think of his mentality? I'm curious. We'll find out next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So I learned my lesson from old T, because I still believe that Romeo Doubs was the most even-keeled guy. And he did take a passive-aggressive approach to his unhappiness. He just didn't show up for work. But
you're not
still
doubling. You're not doubling.
No. I literally, the first thing I said out of my mouth was, I learned my lesson.
I know you
so
did.
So I needed a little more time to make that judgment. Okay. Now, that said, fair. I don't know, and again, not everyone is as open and vulnerable as Quay Walker chose to be with us after the game on Thursday night when the PR staff had to go get him because everybody wanted to talk to him, and he had already left. He has very minimal interest in talking to us. When he does talk, he is very introspective and seemingly, to me anyway, and of course I can't say this for certain, but he seems very forthright and honest. And we spent about 5-6 minutes with him, and during the entire time, he was talking about how he thinks, overthinks everything, he thinks too much. Those plays where you see him seemingly have the ball carrier lined up, and then inexplicably he goes the wrong direction. He just is thinking, overthinking things, and he is conscientious to a fault. And I have now confirmed that with his coaches as well, which, Tausch, you're a conscientious player. You never want to let anybody down. But you are kind of letting them down if you let that conscientiousness impact your play after you make a mistake. You got to... The most important thing in sports, I would argue, is your ability to move on to the next play or the next shot, the next shift, whatever it is. And Quay Walker admitted to us that he struggled with that. And I wanted to know why. Why is he like this? And so after the crowd dispersed, I asked him about his inability to find joy and give himself grace when things do go well.
I don't pretend to know you really well,
yeah,
but I think I know how hard you are.
Kinda, yeah, you know how it is.
Not many guys.
Been that, 3 years with me. Yeah. You know how it is.
So you know me for three
I know
years,
you're
baby.
Not going to get complacent, but to at least allow yourself to feel a little bit of happiness.
I'm trying to get to that point, but it's like, for me, I'm just so hard on myself, knowing that it's year three, and like the standard and expectation I have for myself, I want to be an all-pro linebacker. I want to be the guy in the middle that everybody talks about. I don't think, there's no disrespect to A.J. Hawk, Devondre Campbell, or any of those guys, but, like, I want to be a guy, you know what I'm saying, for this organization. When you think about the Green Bay Packers, like, now you're thinking about off-the-ball linebackers, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get there, and I'm just hard on myself regardless. So I've always been like that.
He's wired in a way, Tausch, that, I'll be honest, I don't know if he'll ever get to what his goals are until he figures out a way to do a better job of handling that stuff. Like
that
he
was really introspective, Jason.
Yeah.
I love to give you grief. I don't know, you got him in a vulnerable spot or if that's just how Quay is, but that was really interesting. And for me, I think professional athletics is so much mental.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're physically gifted enough, they'll find you, they'll bring you in. And the difference between being a practice squad guy and having an NFL career, a long career, it is razor's thin. Opportunity, I've said this all the time, 80 to 85% of the league, you should look at it as you're very fortunate. You found a staff that believes and trusts you, and you're able to have a career. Quay wants to be in that upper 15%. He puts an inordinate amount of pressure on himself. All of us did. All of us put a ton of pressure on ourselves. It's your livelihood. You're trying to change your family's life. You know, for a lot of guys, it's, I mean, life-changing money, all of this stuff. So there's just an innate amount of pressure. And I think one of the things you hear him say, year three, and I know he said that to you, he's really putting, and this happens a lot, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to find a way to get a new contract and to kind of be that guy. He's doing that on top of first-round expectations. People being disappointed in, you know, he hits the trainer out of bounds, I think, for Detroit a couple years ago. He gets ejected from a game. Then you start having to go above and beyond, and there is just a lot on his plate. So he is Dick Bennett's quote the other day, when he was on our show a while ago about when you love something, you have to hold on loosely. Nobody does that. It is a hard thing to kind of do. You want to squeeze, But the best way to be the best athlete and the best player is to not think, is to just react and to go about your business and to trust your training. And you do that when you feel free. It's really hard to get to that point in athletics. That's why it is great when guys get that new contract and they feel like that pressure is lifted. You'll see guys go one of two ways. Oh, fat and happy, or, all right, now it's my time. And you'll see some guys that just have it. I think, you know, if you want to look at Tucker Kraft, seems to have it. He's embracing that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys that figure it out and can do it. But when you're a first-round pick, there's that added level to it. Quay obviously feels that way, and I thought your quote there that you were able to get out from him was really interesting.
Yeah, I think he is probably as misunderstood as any player I've covered in a while. I don't know, you know, there's obviously
lots. What do you
mean
by misunderstood?
Because I think, you know, with the two ejections, obviously that gives you the reputation that you're a hothead, right? And I don't know how you wouldn't have that reputation, because most guys don't get kicked out of any games in their career. He got it twice in 1 year as a rookie.
Yep.
But I get a lot of vitriol thrown his direction. I had that, there was that thing about the NFL Coach of the Year and how LaFleur wasn't one of the 12 coaches pictured that I retweeted. And literally, I think three different people made some variation on the comment, Matt LaFleur can't be the Coach of the Year in the NFL. He keeps playing Quay Walker when he should be benched. Like, it has nothing to do with Quay Walker. And there's a segment of the fan base that just can't stand him. Well, he has played two back-to-back very good games. And he played poorly in Chicago. No one is disagreeing with that.
He was not having a great season up until the last couple weeks. And
right.
We acknowledge that when Halfley talks, he has kind of filled you in to let you know that that's how they feel too.
Right, exactly. And so I understand the frustration that fans have, and I don't think it's wrongly placed. I think it's more, I hope they understand that the guy cares about it deeply, and it's not that he sucks and he doesn't care. It's that he is probably, I don't want to say hurting himself, but there's no other way to put it. The overthinking has been his downfall. And the last two games, Jeff Halfley says he doesn't look like he's thinking as much. He's just going and playing, which is what this scheme is supposed to do for him. And if that's the case, I don't know what he's going to end up being, right? I'm still skeptical on if they give him the fourth year or the fifth year option in May, it will not be because he clear cut deserves it. It will be because they're betting on how good he can become.
A lot of football left here and some pretty big games. If he is playing, he's played good football the last couple weeks. If he is, you know, able to continue and showcase, and he's got to make the pick. He dropped that pick a couple weeks ago, or is that last week? It's, I think, one of the things Packer fans see some of these other middle linebackers, and especially the guys that have kind of gutted us, Varner, Bowman, Willis, the dude from Levante David from Tampa.
Yep.
Teams that have ended our seasons, that middle linebacker has been such a critical piece, and I think that is also part of this this equation. And the fact that people were frustrated with A.J. Hawk, Blake Martinez, oh, they're dragging him 6 yards. He's what a tackling machine, but it's 8 yards down the field. That's what you always hear. And you see other teams have these dynamo inside linebackers. Quay was drafted to be that dynamo. He has not been up to this point. So it wears on you, and for as much as guys will say, well, I'm not going to listen to that, he's obviously tried to distance himself media-wise. I think Quay, you hope, has turned the corner. And if he has, I think this defense is only going to get that much better. And if Quay's going to be a big part of that solution if that is what happens.
Well, there is a lot of football left to be played. But to this point, based on his resume today, he probably does not merit the fifth-year option beyond the belief that he can become the player that they're hoping he can become.
Well, you don't pay guys for what they did. You pay them for what they're going to do.
You don't, but there's plenty of players that haven't done enough that have not gotten fifth-year options. We'll see what happens with him in May when that occurs. All right, we need to get to Woe Nelly. I'm going to have to just ask this question on the air, which is not ideal.
Get ready for spring and do it now. Yes, you're probably wondering, what do you think? Should I start having the guys from John Simpson's look at my driveway? I know I'm struggling. Jason, the answer is yes. And give Johnson & Sons Paving. Make sure no pavement hazards got worse. Now that you, Lord knows, you shovel and snowblow every blank in time, there's indeed a little dusting. So there's potholes, there's crack curbs, there's drainage issues. If those things are bad now, they ain't going to get better. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed. Schedule a free, no obligation quote. Walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement work that is needed by spotting fatigue, cracking, standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, and more. Don't scare away customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now, save money later. JohnsonSonsPaving.com.
Woe Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. It's a beautiful.
Promised. Time for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Last night, the Cleveland Browns and the Denver Broncos played on Monday Night Football. It was one of the least anticipated Monday Night Football matchups of the year, but it may have been the most exciting Monday Night Football game to this point. 41-32, the final score. I know what you're thinking, not a scoregami. How much of Browns Broncos did you watch last night, Monday Night Football, Tausch?
I saw the last, I want to say, wasn't it 34-32, and then Cleveland was going down?
Yeah.
I saw the back end of the game. And Jameis is entertaining now. He's funny. He's quirky. He's a pretty good player until he's not. You want him in one of those backup. He'll have some big games, and he's going to turn it over. He ended up, I think I saw some stat this morning, 688 yards with 6 touchdowns, and just 2 of them are for the other team. So he had 4 touchdowns to his team, 2 to the other team.
That's pretty good.
That's what you get. He's a boomer bust guy, but he's super entertaining. And I think Sean Payton deserves a lot of credit. Got rid of Russ, brought in Bo Nix, and we all kind of were wondering, Bo Nix, they're going to be a playoff team in a year that I think everybody kind of, they have $90 million in dead cap money. And they're going to find a way. So I love the fact, entertaining game, fun, Jameis Winston kind of game, and I think very entertaining from a fan standpoint.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it, but I saw the highlights. That's how Tausch likes to usually watch these things as well. And it looked like a really entertaining football game between two teams that had nothing to do with the team I cover or had any real interest to me going in. That's sometimes the best primetime games. Right? Got no reason to watch. That's 2 in a row, too, because weren't the Browns part of that Steelers game with the Snow Bowl, which I actually did watch on a Thursday night that I wasn't planning on watching because of the snow. Next.
Woe Nelly!
Huge game tonight, Tausch. The NBA Cup resumes. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Detroit Pistons, both undefeated in group play, meet each other tonight. 6 o'clock tip. In big. Detroit, the other big game in Detroit this week. Bucks Pistons tonight. Do you care about the Bucks in the NBA Cup?
How many teams get in the NBA Cup?
Well, they're all in.
What's
it
that
to
playoff?
They're all in it to start.
I know, but what does it whittle down to?
8 move on to the knockout round, 4 go to Vegas.
Oh. No. No. No.
Can't interest you one bit.
I love the idea. No. I want to say yes, but I don't. I won't mean it if I did.
The Bucks are looking good again. You want to watch the Bucks looking
like
good?
Yeah, I like the fact Milwaukee's turning around. But, I mean, if I'm not at the game, my interest level at this point is not, I'm not going to lie to you, even with the Badgers getting eliminated, I'm more interested in watching the Wisconsin Badgers play Michigan tonight than I am the Bucks playing. Did the Pistons get good? Because they were one of the worst teams in the league.
No, the summer's saying they're kind of like Indiana last year in the NBA Cup, where they're not a expected contender, but this could be a great step for a young team to get a playoff type atmosphere early on. Yeah.
Okay.
You gonna put any prize picks on it?
Well, that would make it more intriguing. That's for certain. Last night I went less with LeBron because I was watching. I don't know who it is on these ESPN shows. They're basically saying LeBron played a lot of minutes the night before, and they played, I think, Minnesota last night. So they weren't even sure he was going to play, and if he did, they thought it would be limited. Old T went with a less than a dub for old T on the prize picks last night. Prize picks, the best place to get real money sports action. Over 10 Nailed million it. Members, billions of dollars. In award winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all, more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 200 times your money. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. It is America's number one daily fantasy sport. And it's right now, you know what it is, Jesse. What's Prize Picks in December? Merry Picksmas. Oh, yes, indeed. Giving away 30-plus. $1 million in rewards during this Merry Picksmas season. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's right. Download the app today. Use code WI. You get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
Do you think I ruined the show by laughing into the microphone?
Run.
Run your game.
No, you don't. I think the more authentic, dumb stuff that you can do, the better.
Okay. There's a dweller that seems to think that this is ruining the program.
Mm.
Jesse, can you explain this Merry Picksmas again? Because do they give like Taco Tuesday deals every day during
There's
the 12
all kinds
days?
Of stuff.
Or what have we all got?
There's all Egg kinds of
deals.
Stuff. The largest win I have ever had on Prize Picks came last Picksmas. I went 6 for 6. There was a free 6-pick flex play. I nailed all six. Ended up winning a couple hundred dollars on it. Just straight from
I thought you were
going to
say a couple hundred thousand.
Well, no, I wish. I should have done more. But they have different deals. Sometimes it'll be a discounted.
Or less.
Sometimes it'll be a discounted projection. Sometimes you get a free play, like you win it or your money back. All kinds of stuff. So they all different types of things available. Sometimes it's like you do one day,
Picksmas.
And then it relays into what you do the next day. Kind of a
love it.
Progressive thing. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a progressive. Okay. I love that. Merry Picksmas, everybody.
And we'll wrap
to
things.
To each and their all, or whatever. However that saying goes.
To each and their all.
I don't know, dude. It's been a long day. I lost an argument to Jesse for the first time in 7 years. So I don't know what.
And to all a good night. More Wildy and Tausch to wrap things up next.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
My buddies Bill Huber and Rob Domofsky are at practice. Corey Ballantyne, who injured his knee blocking for Keyshawn Nixon on the opening kickoff on Thursday night, and Edgerrin Cooper, who's been out the last couple of weeks with a hamstring injury, the only two not practicing. Jair Alexander taking part early on here for the third straight day. Also, Romeo Doubs still in the concussion protocol, might get out of it today. Tausch, quickly, and we'll talk about it tomorrow some more.
Are you going to put your faith in Jair Alexander and have him play after what happened in Chicago the last time you tried to have him play?
Sure, I think you give him a shot, but you have make sure you're dialed in and everybody else is dialed in too, that it might not be 50 snaps that you're going to get from him.
We'll see what Matt LaFleur has to say after practice today. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.